This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to Food Stuff. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we're adjusting our microphones and also talking about pineapple.
Yep. Another food that Lauren can't have.
Yeah. It's so delicious.
Do you remember how?
Yeah. This is one that I actually get some of the most sympathy out of other people for when I mention it. People are like, I'll be like listing things off and I get to pineapple and they're like, oh no, really? What? How?
Yeah. I feel the same way. When people tell me they don't like pineapple, I'm like affronted. That can't be true. But thanks to listener Aaron, we know it might be an intolerance to the enzyme bromelain, which is only in fresh pineapple, meaning canned pineapple and juice could be fine.
Could be fine if that's the problem that I'm having. Bromelain, by the way, is broken down by heat, which is applied as part of the canning and juice making process, which is why it's not in canned juice and fruit.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a lot of requests for pineapple when I mentioned in passing that the history of pineapple might be a lot of fun, but I had no idea. And spoiler alert, not so fun.
Oh, it's more fun than some other things.
Some of it's really fun. Some of it I love.
Yes.
It is awesome.
But before we get into that, let's do our basic, like what is it?
Yes. Pineapples are a tropical fruit and their mother plant actually looks really cool.
Yeah.
If you want to look it up. It's made up of a bunch of different small fruits that have combined around the core.
That's what all the segments or eyes on the fruit are. They're evidence of the individual berries that all grow from individual flowers on the plant's single central stem.
Right. I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's great.
it's really cool and like only a little bit like Cronenbergian.
Yes. I've heard that word three times a day. That's the type of day I'm having. Anyway.
Oh, no.
They can grow up to 1.5 meters or about 4.9 feet tall, which is also larger than I would have guessed.
Yeah.
And pineapple harvesting still has to be done largely by hand. It takes about 2 years for a pineapple to grow, and harvesters walk through the crop in these thick suits to protect themselves from those spiky leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And once the crop is harvested, the field is, quote, knocked down to make way for a new growing cycle.
Yeah, because they kind of grow, they're sort of weed-like at a certain point. So if you don't totally knock the field down, then you'll get weird little errant plants that aren't as high quality as the stuff that you're putting in there on purpose. Also, in order to match demand year round, pineapples can be forced to flower through chemical means. And so that's how we keep up a fresh supply of pineapple all year.
Ah, I see. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking for a fresh pineapple at the store and you're wondering, well, how in the world do I know what is a good pineapple? This is something I have thought to myself. You want to look for one that has green leaves that don't really fall off when you pull them, mm-hmm. and a firm body.
Okay.
And unlike most fruits, pineapples don't ripen more once they've been picked because they draw their sweetness from their starch base. But generally, though, the sooner you eat them, the better. And if you cut it up, store it in the refrigerator, that does go bad pretty quickly, I think.
Yeah. But unto themselves, they can hang out for a while.
Yeah. And you've probably only had one type of pineapple, and that's the MD2 cultivar, which is a hybrid that was developed to preserve the sweetness while also lowering the acidity and preventing browning, which was a problem for the previously most popular fresh pineapple type called Smooth Cayenne.
Which makes up more than half of the MD2 hybrid.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's way more varieties than that.
Oh, way more.
I had never known.
No, and there is a place in Hawaii where they sell at least 20 different varieties.
Ooh.
I remember reading the different types.
Oh, what did they taste like? Were they all basically pineapple? Or
they have different taste, I think. I believe the Smooth Cayenne was the sweetest.
Huh. Okay.
So I imagine that these varieties would be less sweet.
Huh. But, yeah.
Try a different type of pineapple.
Right. I guess I wouldn't because it would make me
I would try to explain
sick.
It to you in a way that was both not going to make you jealous, but also describe the flavor accurately. It'd be difficult.
It would. The pineapples that we eat are seedless.
Right.
Because you grow a new pineapple by rooting a piece of an existing plant.
Yeah. And to form the seed, you need pollination. And hummingbirds are the most frequent pollinators. But seed formation isn't great for the quality of the fruit, which is why Hawaii prohibits importation of hummingbirds.
No hummingbirds in Hawaii.
No. And who's importing hummingbirds?
I don't know. Just, yeah, like, hey, Bob, I need 20 hummingbirds, stat. I'm not sure why that was in that accent. Anyway, they're pretty easy to grow on your own, though.
Yeah. You just take the crown from the plant, put it somewhere dry and dark for a week so it'll harden, and then in an 8-inch porous pot with good drainage, lay down a layer of gravel and then a layer of light soil and 30% composted material.
Oh.
Oh my goodness. We both just put our hand on our hip. And from there, yeah, you just let it grow. And once it starts to grow, you want to move it to a 12-inch pot with the same conditions. I'm determined to try this. I can't believe it would be this easy, but I'll find out.
I've heard that it can take a while to get it to really take. But
right.
But there's this nice fellow who hangs out sometimes in your DeKalb Farmers Market, which is a local market around here in Atlanta, who he'll just hang out near the pineapples and kind of like wait for someone to come up to the pineapples and then tell them about this. It's actually very sweet.
Like the pineapple.
Yeah.
Next time I go there, maybe I will run into him.
Look out for him. Yeah.
Yeah. Similarly to cauliflower, the pineapple is another example of the golden ratio in nature.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
And when it's fresh, it is pretty healthy. It's high in vitamin C and manganese, especially, which helps your immune system and bone strength, among loads of other things.
It is also chock full of fructose, though.
Yeah.
So, you know, just in moderation.
Right. Mm-hmm. Aforementioned bromelain, which is an enzyme found in pineapple, it can be used as a meat tenderizer and cut fruit preserver.
Hmm.
And it's sometimes used as an anti-inflammatory. There aren't many studies or any that conclusively show this, like conclusively.
Right.
Researchers are currently looking at bromelain's cancer-fighting properties as well.
A thing that I did not know, unripe pineapple is toxic and can cause just really bad diarrhea and vomiting kind of issues.
Right.
Also, apparently, eating a lot of pineapple cores, which not everyone eats, but they are edible, uh-huh. can lead to the formation of something called fiber balls in the digestive tract.
Oh, that sounds awful.
I don't know what it means, and I don't honestly want to. But speaking of fiber, fibers from the leaves of pineapple are sometimes woven into embroidery thread, cloth, and paper in places like Brazil and the Philippines.
Oh. Despite its association with Hawaii, Hawaii is not the top producer, not anymore at least.
And it's not even where they're native to.
No, no. Instead, in 2014, the top producers were Costa Rica, Brazil, and the Philippines, with a total worldwide production equaling 25.4 million tons.
Ooh.
And behind applesauce and peaches, pineapple is the most canned fruit.
Hmm.
And behind the Pearl Harbor bombing site, the Dole Pineapple Plantation is the most visited tourist attraction in Hawaii.
Wow. As of 2015, the pineapple industry was a $9 billion industry. It's a lot of pineapples.
Yeah. That's nothing to sneeze at, pineapple. So how did the pineapple grow to become this massive industry?
Well, in order to determine that, we have to go thousands of years back to stuff that we're not entirely certain about.
Yay!
Yay! History! So we know that pineapples originated in South America, most likely in the region of like Brazil or Paraguay, somewhere around there. And they were domesticated as long as 6,000 years ago or more, possibly by the Tupi people and or by the Guarani people. And from there, they spread throughout the continent to Central America, Mexico, and the West Indies and or Caribbean, depending on what you would like to call it. The plant was called by the locals the nana, which could mean excellent fruit. I've also seen its meaning listed as perfumed. Hmm. But either way, this is where we get the scientific name for pineapples, which is Ananas comosus. In addition to being eaten raw or cooked, pineapple juice was also fermented to make wine and liquors.
Hmm.
And it was, and in some regions still is, used medicinally due to that bromelain content for a whole bunch of different things, as a cure for gastrointestinal parasites and other stomach problems, to cure skin problems like corns and warts, to stimulate menstrual flow, and to induce abortion.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Didn't see that one coming.
Non-edible cultivars were grown for the strong fiber in their leaves, aforementioned, still used in like embroidery and fine goods like that. Way back when was woven to make stuff like clothing and hammocks and fishing nets.
Wow. Quite useful, the pineapple, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
In 1493, Christopher Columbus.
Mr. Christopher Columbus.
Yes, he's popped up a couple times. Mm-hmm. He stumbled upon the pineapple when he stopped on Guadalupe, and he called it Piña de Indies, or Pine of the Indians, in his journal. He described it as resembling a pine cone, but a sweet fruit with an apple's firmness. He returned to Spain with some pineapples, where it was a huge hit. People loved how sweet it was. I mean, humanity and our sweet tooth.
Right?
It's really kind of shaped history in just a way I did not anticipate.
Very intensely, yeah.
Anyway, when they tried to grow their own pineapples in Europe, or more particularly in England, they found little to no success due to the non-tropical weather for this tropical plant. Holland did have some success, however, and Dutchman Pieter de la Court van der Voort, sorry about it, is credited with growing the first pineapple in Europe in 1658. So they had to import them, which was crazy, time-consuming, and expensive, and the fruit often arrived bruised and or rotten.
Yeah, because without refrigeration, it's a really difficult thing to do. And pineapples can't survive frost is the thing about growing them. They do best in temperatures above 65 degrees Fahrenheit, a.k.a. like 18 degrees Celsius. Other famous dudes who were roaming around the oceans?
Magellan.
Yeah.
Magellan got in the pineapple game after he discovered them in Brazil in 1519, which increased the import of pineapples into Europe. They often arrived candied or covered in syrup, though, since the transport of the fruit was so difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And during the 16th century, Spain and Portugal introduced the pineapple to places like Hawaii, although the first recorded mention of it was in 1813. Guam, the Philippines, Zimbabwe, 1550 in India, 1594 in China, and South Africa in 1655. And it's around this time the word pineapple first appeared in print. And it got its name thanks to its resemblance to a pine cone. Previously, pineapple was used to describe pine cones, and the word pine cone also popped up in text for the first time in 1664, which makes sense. Also, How disappointing would it be if you heard the word pineapple, you picked up a pine cone and thought, maybe I could eat this somehow. And
you just can't.
No.
No. I guess you could use it to smoke other foods. That would be delicious.
There are other uses for sure.
Mm-hmm. Due to the high cost of refined sugar, the low availability of sweets, and pineapple's rarity, it very quickly became a symbol of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
King Charles II commissioned a painting of himself receiving a pineapple from his gardener as a display of, I don't know, what would you put it as? Like,
Wealthitude.
Royalness.
Yep.
Yeah. Royals would often give them as gifts when they were looking to just super impress somebody.
Yeah. And you should look up the painting because it's great. And in 1700s colonial America, pineapples imported from the Caribbean islands, due to how perishable and rare they were, could cost as much as $8,000.
What?
In today's money, $8,000.
That's a very expensive piece of fruit.
Mm-hmm. And since much of the colonies were like...
My car isn't worth that much. Please continue.
Oh, my gosh. Crazy. Since much of the colonies at the time were like small hubs of activity, a lot of the entertaining went on in people's homes. And when well-off colonists wanted to show off just how well-off they were, and also hospitable, also, they would display a pineapple at dinner parties.
But like display.
Display. Like its main use was decoration. It was the center of these big fruit and food piles and mounds, and it'd be revealed when the moment was right, they would throw open the doors and behold.
And behold, we have all of this food and it's crowned by the majestic pineapple.
Yes. And they'd only eat them once they like started to go bad.
Oh no. No, that's so sad for the pineapple.
I know. And for those poor souls who couldn't afford a pineapple, there was still hope for you. There was a pineapple rental market.
Is okay.
Yes, you heard that correctly. There's a pineapple rental market, and the enterprising pineapple sellers, and it's usually bakers who use pineapples in desserts, and they were pretty in the loop about who was having dinner parties, so they knew who to approach, and they would rent out pineapples before selling them, and people would carry them around at parties. I can't imagine a more comfortable accessory.
Being someone who has held on to a pineapple for like a decent amount of time during that one photo shoot that we did, like I can say that that wouldn't be my first choice.
No. Better than spiky pain melon?
Yes, by far. Oh, spiky pain melon. Oh.
I kind of want to just carry around a pineapple for a day and see what kind of comments I get. But anyway, George Washington named it his favorite tropical fruit after trying it in Barbados in 1751. And it's around this time in the 1760s that the pineapple as the symbol of friendship and hospitality started to become really trendy.
Super trendy.
Yeah. Pineapples were on napkins, tablecloths, wallpaper, bedposts, pineapple-shaped dishes. They were on the gateposts outside of residences, on the backs of chairs, on weather vanes of important public buildings. Pineapple-shaped candelabras and pitchers, door knockers. In the Caribbean, you'd put a pineapple or a pineapple crown outside your door to represent friendship.
Aw.
They were everywhere. And you can still see evidence of it to this day. I hear it's pretty prevalent in colonial Williamsburg. I've never been.
Oh, me neither. There was even a huge pineapple-shaped bit of architecture that was put up in Scotland in Dunmore Park in 1761. It much like one of those fruit piles at a fancy party, mm-hmm. It's just the giant crown right at the center top of this building. And the building below it used to house a hothouse.
Oh, okay.
Which is part of what would make pineapples able to be grown in more places. But it's still there. You can still go visit it.
I would love to.
It's really majestic. Take a second and Google it, y'all.
There's a reason the pineapple is called the king of fruits. and that's not it either. Foods were pressed into pineapple shapes.
Oh, right.
Other foods were made to look like pineapple, like cakes, cookies, candies, gelatin molds, I mean,
it doesn't fit the alliteration, but
no,
still nice.
Yeah. And also, that had a resurgence in the 50s and 60s.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Probably due partially to tiki culture, which I have a note about much later.
Right. So going back to Europe, they hadn't given up on growing their own pineapple. No. And with the advent of the hothouse in the 17th century, pineapples could be grown more widely in Europe. The first recorded one was Duchess of Cleveland's hothouse in 1642.
From which she gifted a pineapple to King Charles II, which is how the aforementioned painting came about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But even with houses, pineapples couldn't be produced on a large scale, and the cost was still high due to the equipment and labor required. So high, in fact, that owning one of these hothouses meant for growing pineapples, which were called pineries or pineapple stoves, became a symbol for wealth along with the pineapple.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. You know.
Cool.
Look at my pinery. How much money I've got. Allegedly, in 1779, the pineapple was even used in political discourse, with an egalitarian dissenter saying, "What right has one man to eat a pineapple for which he gave a guinea when another is starving for want of a halfpenny worth of bread?"
And then his opponent responded, saying,
"How many depend on their share of the guinea paid for the pineapple? When you shall have divided the guineas between all of these, I think the gentleman might eat with a good conscience."
No, serious pineapple discourse.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, in the 1770s, the British explorer James Cook planted pineapples in islands throughout the South Pacific. And Lutheran missionaries introduced the pineapple to Australia in the 1830s, where it still grows.
Mm-hmm. Especially in Queensland.
Yes. Meanwhile, as ship technology improved throughout the 1800s with fast-sailing cutter ships and steamships, pineapples began to be imported from the Caribbean and Central America to wealthy folks in New York City, where the trend continued to spread. There was an attempt to grow them in the United States to avoid these high shipping costs. They were grown poorly in Texas and California, and then in Florida a little bit more successfully starting in 1860 in the Keys, and the most successfully in a belt along South Florida's east coast, stretching from Fort Pierce down to Miami, which I find personally fascinating because I lived in South Florida for a long time. Anyway, that happened up through the early 20th century. But the plantations there wore out the soil, and that plus South Florida's tendency to occasionally experience frost wiped out the crop for good eventually.
Oh, too bad.
Mm-hmm. Also around the 1860s, pineapple from the Bahamas and Cuba was canned in Baltimore, which was the canning center of America. I mean, seriously, the technology was fairly new and pretty expensive, so it was all based in Baltimore in terms of U.S. cannerying. But the pineapples canned around that time were picked green in order to save them from rotting during shipping. And they'll yellow over time, but like Annie said earlier, they won't ripen. So they're not as tasty as like a ripe pineapple. They kind of suck.
Mm-hmm.
Technicians in Baltimore developed the machines around that time that core and slice pineapples into the familiar rings.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And that more or less brings us to one of those companies we love so much that's named for a real, actual, once-living dude,
mm-hmm.
Dole.
Dole.
But first, a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Dole. By this time, in the 1800s, California was importing so much pineapple from Hawaii. But pineapple still didn't really take to the journey and frequently rotted along the way. And an English horticulturist and captain, John Kidwell, got the idea to can pineapple in Hawaii and sell it in 1892. But he was not the first.
Yeah, this wasn't the first dude to can pineapple, yeah.
No. The U.S. tariff on imported fruits made it pretty much impossible for him to make a profit. And he shut down in 1898, which was too bad for him because later that same year, the Hawaiian Kingdom was annexed by the U.S. after the Spanish-American War and the tariff was lifted. Too bad for him and bad for many parties involved.
Yes.
If you want to know more about this, check out Stuff You Missed in History Classes podcast, their episode about it.
It's a really intense and fascinating story because pineapples, or rather the agriculture barons who controlled the pineapple plantations, had a hand in overthrowing the Hawaiian monarchy as U.S. commercial interest in local farmland was increasing. And Kidwell also was just an extremely thorough and or possibly obsessed scientist. And he experimented with, I think, like 31 different strains of the plant from around the world, eventually selecting the smooth cayenne mm-hmm. varietal and improving the growing conditions for it. So without Kidwell, the pineapple might never have become as globally popular and available as it has. So, check out Stuff You Missed in History Class for all about that. Because this episode is going to be long enough as it is without us repeating all the things that those incredible ladies say.
Right.
Yes.
With Kidwell's pineapple research and canning equipment in place, the industry was easy enough to restart. And in 1900, Jim Dole, who was at the time 22 years old and knew nothing about canning, bought up 61 acres of land for growing pineapples during a homestead expanse program in the newly annexed Republic of Hawaii.
Yes. Dole established the Hawaiian Pineapple Company in 1901, and by 1903, they had produced about 1,900 cases of pineapple.
Despite having been called by the local press, quote, a foolhardy venture.
Foolhardy. Oh, it's one of those great words that needs to come back.
I know.
Part of the success was mere luck, really, because sugarcane, which until all this was Hawaii's biggest crop, doesn't do well at high elevations, so that high elevation land was given over to the homesteaders and their pineapples. Pineapples thrive at high elevations.
Huh. Sugar cane pops up again.
Yeah.
The pineapple still wasn't the easiest crop, and Dole operated at a loss for several years in the beginning.
Which he could weather due to his excellent connections, like Dole's second cousin was governor of the territory of Hawaii at the time.
Yeah, I'm sure that didn't hurt. Dole was very proactive in pushing for new technologies. And in 1913, this led to the invention of the Ganaka machine by Dole employee Henry Ganaka. This machine could remove the skin, core, and take off the ends of pineapple in less than 30 seconds.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's frightening. Okay.
In 1918, Dole produced 1 million cans of pineapple, and a slightly improved version of the Ganaka machine is still used to this day.
Dole was also really good at marketing his product, and a lot of new advertising ground was being broken at the time. After a market crash in 1907, Dole's company and six other pineapple growers formed up into the Hawaiian Pineapple Growers Association, and they would wind up mounting the first generic product ad campaign in the United States for the food processing industry. Before then, you know, a specific brand or something like that might have put out an ad campaign. This was the first time that an association like that had formed together to put out advertising for canned pineapple. That's it. Yeah. And it really worked and was soon copied by lots of other industries.
Mm-hmm. And partly because of that, by 1921, his business had taken off. And by 1923, Dole was packing more pineapple than anyone else in the business, and the pineapple was Hawaii's biggest industry. During the 1920s, it was perceived as a bit of a fad, spawning culinary trends like the pineapple upside-down cake.
Right. All of this popularity was probably also partially due to the boom in air freight that started happening in the 1920s, which, of course, made shipping much quicker and easier, though it wouldn't start becoming, it wouldn't be really, really widespread until after World War II.
Mm-hmm. And the pineapple industry took a bit of a hit, like most industries, during the Great Depression, which, just in case you don't know, it started in 1929. It got so bad that James Dole was forced to resign as president of the Hawaiian Pineapple Company in 1932.
However, their development of technology to produce high-quality canned pineapple juice in 1933 would help them make up for the losses. Juice sales surged over the next couple decades.
Mm-hmm. And though Dole was the most profitable, accounting for 75% of pineapples for the next seven decades.
Whew.
Yeah. By the 1950s, eight other companies had taken note from Dole's success and set up shop in Hawaii.
A series of reorganizations and consolidations would help Dole's company along. And side note here, just something that I found super interesting while I was doing this research. Among all of the other growers and companies that started up in Hawaii, there were a great number of people of Japanese ancestry whose families had moved to the region as indentured sugar laborers in the late 1800s. Let me just take a moment and shake my fist at the sugar industry. After these people completed their labor, a lot of them moved into pineapple due to the better profits and working conditions. Working conditions for pineapple are kind of terrible, so that's really saying something. At any rate, 7 to 8% of pineapple lands were owned by Japanese growers as of 1908, and by 1920, as the industry was shifting and consolidating, almost 88% of the small pineapple farms were Japanese run. They were largely bought out by big companies over the next few decades, but I don't know, just interesting immigrant story note, I thought, mm-hmm. in there. At any rate.
Yes. After World War II, the pineapple industry spread to places like Thailand and the Philippines, where the labor costs were way lower, like 9/10 lower.
Hooray! Exploitation of overseas populations with fewer labor laws!
Mm-hmm. As a result, the Hawaiian pineapple industry saw a significant decline by the 1960s, leading to lots more consolidations.
Those finally ended in the company becoming known as Dole in 1989. But despite attempts to innovate around canning and shipping a fresher product, Dole's cannery in Honolulu closed in 1991. Del Monte left Hawaii in 2008.
Right. And most pineapple production in Hawaii today is to satisfy local demand. Mm-hmm. And Hawaiian cuisine does still regularly feature pineapple as an ingredient.
Yes.
So that's a very condensed history.
That's an extremely condensed history. There's definitely years and years worth of material that we could tell you specifically about Dole and his company and
the mob and the mafia.
And so many things. I feel like there should be some kind of follow-up episode about some specific little break-off topics. There's like entire chapters devoted just to pineapple juice in history books about all of this. So that could happen. But not now. Right now, We're going to get into some of the depressing labor kind of issues, labor and environmental issues surrounding pineapples. But first, let's take a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Oh, thank you, sponsor, and apologies for sometimes leading into your wonderful sponsorship with really depressing tags.
It just has to happen sometimes.
It does.
Like to keep things interesting here.
Yeah, the depressing stuff is interesting, so it makes people want to stick around. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the pineapple is another one of those stories of just a lack of corporate concern for environmental and worker conditions in the face of expanding profits.
Corporation would never do such a thing.
No, never.
Ridiculous.
There certainly wasn't an entire trope of cartoons in the 1980s devoted to how ridiculous. Do you remember Captain Planet? Were you?
Oh,
were you of that age? That Fern Gully, the Last Rainforest.
Oh, that scared me. That made me scared.
Oh, me too. I still get the song that Tim Curry sings, and that's stuck in my head sometimes. I'm not going to treat you with it right now.
Later.
Yeah. Okay. So, this in the pineapple industry is partially because one really efficient way to grow pineapples is as a monoculture, which means eliminating all the other plants in the area with herbicides. Bugs and molds are also a problem, so add pesticides and fungicides into the mix. In the final product, in the pineapple that you're going to get in a can or on your store shelf, these substances come through as legally allowable residues, even here in developed nations. But they can be really disastrous to the local humans and ecosystem where they're grown. The chemicals used on pineapples in their largest supplying country, Costa Rica, are in fact totally illegal to use in Europe and other parts of the world due to their links to cancer, hormone disruption, and other chronic illnesses in local populations. As of 2007, the Costa Rican government had to start importing water in tankers because the groundwater was deemed unsafe for the populace to use.
That's terrible.
And working conditions. Yay. Mm. In Costa Rica, there have been reports of undocumented immigrants from Nicaragua filling upwards of 60% of the pineapple plantation jobs because the labor is hard and the conditions are dangerous due to that chemical exposure. But because the immigrants aren't citizens, they can't participate in local unions and other efforts that are working to assert worker rights. Similar things have gone on in the Philippines, particularly on Dole plantations. And to make matters worse, in Costa Rica, citizens who have fought for better conditions have sometimes been met with forceful resistance from the corporations. Mass firings and rehirings with poor contracts that exclude union members. And even some people being threatened. There's suspected beatings and arson involved in these kind of matters. So if you enjoy delicious pineapple, but you don't want to support that kind of chicanery is a lighthearted word, but it means what I mean it to mean right here. If you don't want to support that kind of thing, what can you do? You can buy fair trade certified pineapple if you can find it. Crops with that labeling are more likely to have been grown in conditions that prevent the need for heavy chemical use through practices like crop rotation. They're more likely to have treated their workers fairly. This is also where some folks would recommend buying organic, but that's a term in the U.S. anyway, that doesn't have a strong enough legal meaning to make a sure impact on the type of food that you're buying, which we'll just have to do a whole other depressing episode about.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big one that the more I learn about, the more upset I am about humanity. So I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. Looking forward to sharing that with you friends. if it makes you feel better, go organic as well. Agriculture is complicated and fair trade.
Yay.
Yay, fair trade. Moving out of that into some things that are, well, some of them are less depressing. SpongeBob is totally not depressing.
Yes. So as not to end on a, well, to put some, add some cheer to this. This is our pineapple culture snippet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So SpongeBob, obviously, at least for me.
Lives in a pineapple under the sea.
He does. I watched that through college.
Oh my goodness. I actually had no, I had never watched it before and I was trapped in this terrible, not trivia. What's the one where your partner depends on you to be able to guess clues?
Oh.
Anyway, one of those games and she was like staring at me and she was like, SpongeBob lives in one of these under the sea. And I was like, a sea cucumber? I don't know. It was a very painful game. At any rate, cultural point, SpongeBob.
Yes.
Also, tiki bar culture. That boom of pineapple juice sales in the early 1930s may have had to do with Prohibition ending that year and with the rise of tiki bar culture starting in 1934. That's when Don Beach, which he renamed himself after having been born Ernest Raymond Beaumont Gant.
Okay.
Don Beach returned from rum running in the South Pacific and opened Don's Beachcomber Cafe in California in 1934. It became an it spot for Hollywood royalty and started a fad for all things vaguely and or offensively Polynesian themed. Mm-hmm. And the popularity of that would stretch through the early 1970s and employ just really a great deal of pineapples. Tiki bar culture is in the midst of a resurgence, as you may have noticed. And we'll have to do, speaking of other homework I'm giving us, like we'll totally have to do a whole other episode about the kitchen nostalgia and appropriation and other weirdness that goes along with this completely delightful thing.
Right.
Do you get cravings for like Mai Tais on a frequent basis?
No.
No? Oh, I do.
I'm not big into sweet drinks, but a well-made pina colada. I know. Sorry. Recently, a student in Scotland left a pineapple at an art exhibit, hoping it would be mistaken for art. And sure enough, he returned 4 days later. And there was a glass case around his pineapple. People were looking at it, thought it was modern art. I love that.
He didn't include the glass case?
No. He just left a pineapple.
He just dropped a pineapple off?
Yeah, it was like on a kind of elevated, it's not a table, but like a pedestal, I guess.
Sure. Uh-huh.
And he left it there. And when he came back, someone had put a glass case, and it was a heavy glass case that took four people to move. So, yeah.
Wow.
they thought it was art. And actually, I looked at it and I appreciated the pineapple's beauty in a way I hadn't previously.
I mean, I suppose it became art at that point.
I was appreciating it for sure.
Speaking of appreciation, let's do some listener mail.
Yes.
Mm-hmm, because that's about what we've got to say about pineapples.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So both of these are in response to our juicing episode.
Mm-hmm.
And this first one is from Micah. Micah wrote in with, I am actually very thankful that you both did an episode on juice cleanses. Having been taught about the dangers of juice cleanses in my organismal biology class at Georgia Tech, go Jackets, also my alma mater, side note, I understand how important it is that people be informed of the risk that come with this diet. What surprises me is that even those who have the awareness of what these diets do to your health can still somehow justify trying them. There are some people who will even practice fasting 3 or 4 days out of the week, not for spiritual or religious purposes, but out of a sincere belief or desperate hope that it will lead to permanent weight loss, which is far from being a consequence of regular fasting. I think it really speaks to the insecurities we experience when it comes to our physical appearance and the lengths we will go to in order to feel comfortable in our skin. Our susceptibility to deception seems to be disproportionately high in this area to how connected it is to the Western concept of self-worth and how little regulation there is when it comes to promotion of these diets and their effects on health in America. My hope is that changing ideas of health and wellness will lead to a rejection of these fad diets and bring us closer to a unified movement towards balancing our diets and decreased consumption of unhealthy food and harmful dieting practices. Maybe then we can start to feel better about our bodies, not because of their physical appearance per se, but because of how good we feel on the inside.
Yeah. Oh, that's we wanted to read that one because it just summed up how we felt about it so beautifully.
Yeah, and I responded with, like, this is all very important to both Lauren and I. Mm-hmm. I have strong thoughts and opinions on this,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure we will do an episode, but it's crazy how you can convince yourself, even if you know.
Yeah.
It can't work.
It can't work, but... Just try it. Just do it. Just maybe.
Oh. Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
So thank you for writing in, Micah.
Yes.
And we will definitely come back to that at some point.
Absolutely. Our other note about the juicing episode came in from Chris. The Welch's history as an anti-alcohol alternative really made me laugh since, as a home winemaker, I, like most of my peers, recommend anyone who wants to try out home winemaking starts with frozen Welch's 100% juice. It has no preservatives and it's cheap, allowing for a gallon batch of wine for about $10. It's a great, do I really want to do this, batch for newbies. While it's never going to be mistaken for Terlato, I don't know things about wine, it's better than your average bottle of $2 Chuck.
That's great.
Yeah. I want to go try that now.
I know, me too. We should do a food stuff test.
Oh yeah. There you go. Test of the episode. We haven't had one yet.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, and the pizza bonus for this one is really easy.
Oh, pineapple pizza.
Yeah.
Oh, I always loved pineapple pizza.
Oh, poor Lauren.
But no, I'll have to go check out. See if I can get a food allergist type human to,
yeah,
or gastroenterologist of some kind to help me figure out what's going on.
Yeah, because if you could be having canned juice, canned fruit.
Yeah. I'm dubious because I feel like I've had a baked good that was sweetened with pineapple juice, mm-hmm, that still made me super sick. So,
oh no.
That feels like probably, I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah.
But maybe it was fresh juice.
I don't know.
Don't get tested.
Okay.
We'll keep our fingers crossed,
okay,
for you.
Absolutely. Thank you. If you guys would like to write in with any other health advice or anything else that you would like to tell us or share with us, you can do that.
Yes. We have an email at foodstuff@howstuffworks.com.
Mm-hmm. We also have a Twitter at foodstuffhsw and an Instagram at foodstuff. Yeah, we share some videos and pictures of the adventures that we've been having.
Yeah.
Come check it out.
Definitely.
Let us know what you think. And yeah, we hope lots more good things are coming your way.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.